At this time, let us read together our Confession of Faith, Article 17 of the Belgic Confession, on the back of the bulletins, as we continue to consider the situation in which we are because of our sins, because of the original sin with which we are all guilty, because of our continued sins. We look at the recovery of fallen man. So let us read together our Confession of Faith. We believe that our most gracious God, in his admirable wisdom and goodness, seeing that man had thus thrown himself into physical and spiritual death and made himself wholly miserable, was pleased to seek and comfort him, when he trembling fled from his presence, promising him that he would give his son, who would be born of a woman, to bruise the head of the serpent and to make him blessed. And so, brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we consider the fall of man, we also, as God is cursing man, are reminded of God's promise. Already right there in Genesis, we read chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. In verse 15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Of course, we are reminded that this is the promise. Yes, very early, very unclear. But as we look back through Scripture, we see the bruising of the head of Satan, the death blow, and the bruising of Christ's heel, which Christ suffered death, but of course is the victor over death and over sin. And so we see right there that our most gracious God, in his admirable wisdom and goodness, because when we had joined Satan in rebellion, when we had thrown ourselves into physical and spiritual death, that is what the fall is, that we had thrown ourselves into physical and spiritual death, made ourselves wholly miserable. Without Christ, we open the catechism by saying, what is your only comfort in life and in death? Now, not all people feel the misery as misery because of sin. They don't understand it. They see the broken world, and they need God's word spoken to them to identify their misery. And yet, all people are truly miserable because of the fall. Yet God was pleased to seek and to comfort him. Think of what happened in the garden as God came to deal with that in verse 8 of chapter 3 of Genesis. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden, to hide from the God who is, yes, bringing judgment, but bringing it in love. And that God, in his judgment, brings the promise of eternal joy, of eternal life. And brothers and sisters, as the world around us seeks to hide from the gospel, and as we saw in the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, seeks to mock the beauty of the gospel. Yes, I have a problem with Da Vinci's art before I even get to what they did at the Olympics. But brothers and sisters, when the world around us seeks to mock they show themselves to be wholly miserable. We have to understand that. They live in grave brokenness without Christ. They're seeking to mock those who have joy, who have a hope. They don't understand that hope. Yet God, in the midst of that, was pleased to seek and to comfort him. Notice, man is hiding. God is seeking to deal with the situation. And we as human beings always seek to hide from the judgment of God, from the God who rightly, we deserve his wrath. But brothers and sisters, God calls us to come to him, to repent, to confess, not to hide it, not to get out the whitewash brush as church members and saying, I'm pretty good. But rather, James says, confess your sins one to another. That doesn't have anything to do with the confessional. That has to do with confessing the God who has saved us from our sins. As Paul says, writing to the Corinthians, and such were some of you, as it talks about horrible sins. Even as we think about the mess that was the opening ceremony of the Olympics and the homosexuality, God identifies that too. Such were some of you. What they demonstrated is they need the gospel. They are in such a mess that they need the truth. And God can save them. And so God seeks not only Adam and Eve, but most specifically here that, but God seeks his people. We don't come to God saying, God, I need you. God comes to us and changes our hearts, changes our minds, regenerates us to cause us to believe on him, to love him, because that's not possible of ourselves. And God promises there he would send his son. We read that. That Christ would bruise the head of the serpent. The victory that we just sang about. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Marvelous grace. Undeserved grace that God has toward us. And so as we look at the fall of man, we also need to see the wondrous grace of God in the midst of that fact. God had every right to destroy all of mankind at that point, to send us immediately to hell. And he has that right every day with every one of us. But it is the undeserved grace of God. It is in his love, in his mercy, that we do not receive that judgment, even as Adam and Eve did not receive the judgment of God right there. But indeed, God loved us and gave his son for us, so that not only do we not have to expect eternal hell, but that we can be confident that God has given to us eternal life, eternal joy such as we can never even imagine on this world. Not because we are worthy, but because of his son, because of his love for us as his people. And as we said in Sunday school this morning, why me? That ought not make us say, look how great I am, God saved me. But why me, Lord? Quite honestly, we ought to have survivor's guilt. As we think about those around us who do not know, who don't believe, that God would call them. Brothers and sisters, as we look at what God has done for us, we need to be reminded we are not in a losing battle against this world. Sometimes we feel that way. I think that's most of the time. The battle's won. The victory has been won. And God won it for us. So we can bring that gospel to this world. And God's power does save even the hardest of sinners. So as Jesus said, we can go and preach the gospel to every creature. I love that exaggeration. Because by that, God says, anybody, everybody. Yeah, we might not have any human hope. Well, guess what? We don't have any human hope of anybody. But God can change hearts. And so as we consider the salvation God gives to us, we also need to be reminded of the salvation that God sends out into the world through us. And God not only uses, God not only foreordains these things, but God also uses, foreordains how it's going to happen. And we're called to be used to that end. Amen.